I'll have to admit, usually with our Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and then love, this is the one that I usually avoid. Pastor Brandon is usually preaching on peace, but he's in a wedding in Illinois, so I'm backing up Pastor Brandon today. But this is his message. Because for me, I'll have to admit, a lot of times I don't have inner peace. It's really hard for me. A lot of times I feel anxious. I feel like the other qualities maybe are more like I can get those, but peace is like, wow. And Brandon seems to exude peace more than I do. He seems pretty chill and calm and can go with it. And I don't feel like that. And as I was writing this, I started writing earlier in the week, and I did something I shouldn't have. Sometimes when I start writing on my computer, I just turn my phone off and don't take calls or whatever. But this time I didn't. And what happened was, as I started writing about peace, I started like having these messages with problems. And some of the problems were ones that I didn't think I could solve. And I started feeling really stressed. And I was feeling this sense of being overwhelmed by problems and anxiety. And as I sat back down after I was doing a little bit of troubleshooting, I sat there and I thought, I'm closer to having a nervous breakdown than I am to being able to tell anybody about how to experience peace. So just so we're honest here and up front, I'm not the expert on how to have peace. And I don't think anybody really is. But that's why we're looking to the scriptures and Jesus and what he said. So the question, as I was sitting there thinking like, oh man, I just feel tense. Like I don't know about peace. The question was, what is keeping me from peace? Like, why don't I feel peace? Now, what about you? Let's turn that question to you. What is it that makes it hard for you to feel peace? Is it the idiot drivers out there? That's some of us, right? We go out on the road and then nobody knows how to drive except for you and me, right? Kind. And it's like you never can get it. Maybe it's the bills. Inflation's rough right now, and when the bills keep coming in and we start to wonder, can I afford this? Do I have enough to be able to meet these financial pressures, and the money shrinking and the cost of everything is increasing? Maybe it's some of the relationships, and you know some people who are like energy vampires. People who come to you and like no matter what, like they have a problem, they have a criticism. No matter what happens, it's just really difficult. Maybe there's some shame that you deal with. Ellen or Kathy, and I'm sure they'd be happy to go out and sit and listen or pray for you. Sometimes it just gets really, really hard. Suffering. Suffering maybe is what keeps us from peace. There's just this pain that's right there, and it's more than we can bear. Life has thrown too much at us. So today we're going to look at the Christmas story. We're going to start going 700 years before. So last week we read this verse, and we're going to try to read it again. All right, this is from Isaiah 9 through 6. And again, this is 700 years before Jesus was born. And he wrote this to us. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, we believe this is a prophecy about Jesus. This was a prophecy about the Messiah. And he was going to be called the Prince of Peace. Now, when Jesus was born, it was during something called the Pax Romana. This was the Peace of Rome, is another way to say it. And the way that it's described is it was a 200-year period of stability in Rome. Now, stability and a golden age, according to Roman historians. But when they say it was a golden age, the economy was good. They were building roads. People were coming. But it was a period of great colonization. So it was peace of Rome, but it was the peace on Roman terms. So if we looked back, if we asked the people of Israel and other places that had been colonized with the imperial Roman forces. Probably to them it wasn't a golden age. But yet it was called the Peace of Rome. In fact, if we talk to a lot of people in Israel, and probably other places similar to that time, the people of Israel were hoping for a political and a military deliverer, a Messiah who would deliver from Roman occupation so freedom could come back. So Israel was hoping again for this Messiah to come, this long-awaited Messiah to overthrow. Now again, I already mentioned, but our church recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. We recognize Jesus to be that person. And yet, Jesus did not deliver. Jesus did not deliver the people of Israel from Roman occupation. In fact, he even died as an enemy of the state. He was executed. So when we wrestle with this, and like, what does it mean that he was a prince of peace? He didn't establish peace for his country. Really, things didn't change much politically. Nothing seemed to really happen in a lot of ways. But how is it that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? What is the meaning? How can we justify calling Jesus the Prince of Peace? Well, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Both Luke and Matthew tell us the story of Jesus' birth. And there were these lines from the Gospel of Luke that really stopped me. In this situation, Luke is talking about another baby who was born. At about the same time, his name was John the Baptist. And John came to some older parents. And Luke tells us this really great story about John's dad. His name was Zechariah. He was a priest. He was going into the temple to pray when he met an angel who told him about John being born to his older wife, Elizabeth. And this was miraculous. We found out also from Luke that Elizabeth and Mary, Jesus' mom, were related, and they had this visit. But after John the Baptist was born, Zechariah, John's father, goes into this speech, and he says some really great things, but I wanted to focus on these lines right here about saying what the Lord was going to do, the word of the Lord. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The path of peace. Now, it's interesting here, he doesn't say the path that leads to peace. I'm guessing that several in Rome would have said that maybe war was a path that leads to peace, because they used war and different political things to establish the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But it was established, the path to peace. He says, no, that this is the path of peace. Somehow there's peace on this path. The path is where the peace is. Now, we already mentioned Isaiah, and we're going to jump back to him in a second here. But he goes in this chapter, and he's talking about those who are violent, those who ignore justice and commit atrocities, those who do all kinds, they lie, they do what is evil, their words are empty. And this is one of the things that Isaiah says about those people in Isaiah 59:8. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their path. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So he's talking about this. They're just on this path and they don't know peace. Where is peace? Now, I think it's not just the wicked sometimes who have a hard time finding peace, but a lot of really good people too. We struggle with where is the way of peace? Where is it? In fact, when I was having my little meltdown earlier this week, the words that were coming from a song, it was a song written by an artist named John Foreman called Inner Peace. And the words were, inner peace are hard to find. Peace of heart and peace of mind. Like I'm at a war inside, I've been fighting all my life. And those were the words that I was just like, that's what I can relate to too. It's hard to find. This, where is the path? Where is peace? Why is it so elusive for some of us sometimes? With that question in mind, we're going to go to a story of Jesus when he was an adult. One of his disciples had a similar kind of question. His name's Thomas. Thomas has kind of a bad rap because people call him Doubting Thomas. Maybe that's bad. Maybe it's good, though. But Thomas is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is talking about a way. And even though he's not specifically talking about the way of peace or the path of peace, I think that it's very related. So Thomas is asking Jesus, where's the way? Where is the way? John 14:5. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? I think most of us who are followers of Christ can really relate to this. Like, where is the way? We don't know where to go. I feel a little bit lost. I'm not sure where my next step is. Like, where? Will you just tell us what to do? Where is the way? We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I want to pause here to say, if you're not a Christian and you're here, we're so grateful that you are here. You're showing a lot of openness and courage to be a part of it. So we want you to know we respect you, even though sometimes I'll say maybe something to Christians. But maybe if you're not a Christian, you can relate too. But I think a lot of us Christians can. It's like, Jesus, just tell me. Just show me. What is it that I need to do? It can be really hard. Jesus answers in this really interesting way in John 14:6. When Thomas asks him, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. Now that could be, again, that's a little bit difficult too, because like Jesus right now, we can't see him. We can't hear him from him audibly. You know, we can't use our five senses to experience Jesus, but he is the way. What does that look like? What does that mean? In the Christmas story, we have these stories of this great story about shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And it's really awesome that God chooses these shepherds who are out working the night shift to send an angel to and announce that a Savior has been born to them. And there's this news, and it's this great story about these shepherds. And then it says a heavenly host appears. And the heavenly host appears with these words that we really love. Those words of peace on earth and goodwill toward all people for whom his favor rests. It's really good. Last week we talked about how Jesus had favor with God, and yet he was also a sign to be spoken against. So in other words, Jesus, even though he had favor, people still spoke against him. So peace, sometimes when you think of peace, do you ever think of no war, no conflict? Doesn't that sound nice? Just everybody leave you alone. Or there's no fighting or no arguments. No sort of conflict. But when the scriptures talk about peace, a lot of times what they're not talking about is just like our word, where maybe it just means no conflict or quiet or no problems. The absence of something. But in the scriptures, a lot of times, instead of the absence of something, the absence of a conflict, it's talking about the presence of. There's this word that Jesus would have used a lot, this Hebrew word that's a really rich word, shalom. Shalom. And what shalom conveys is it's not an absence, it's a presence. Shalom is a wholeness. It's something together. So peace, as we think about peace and maybe the different struggles that we have, let's keep it in mind that maybe it's a presence and not an absence. The Apostle Paul made this great declaration in Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace. That peace was embodied in Christ. That we can seek that Christ, who is our way, that Christ is our peace. That Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in this way that's really hard to grasp, but really important to pursue. What is this peace? You probably have different answers than I do of what keeps you from having peace. What is it that keeps you from having peace? A lot of times I answered the own questions when I was going through the things like having too many things to do and not feeling like you can do it. There's more problems coming in than what you can bear. But what is it? What is it that prevents us from peace? And maybe another question is what is it that brings us peace? What is it? Because there are all kinds of forces that are going to be trying to take away our peace. But what is it that brings us peace? Or maybe even who is it who brings us peace? The Apostle Paul also said a little bit later in Ephesians 2:17, he's talking about Jesus. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. I want to read that one again. He preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. So whether you feel far away right now, maybe a million miles away, or whether you feel near right now, the message of the gospel is that he came and preached peace. There's this wholeness that Christ came to do something really good. So when we say peace be with you, we're not saying have no conflicts or have no problems, which would be nice. I'm for that too. But we're saying may it be well with your soul. May there be a peace in your soul that's with you that can be there even in the middle of some of these conflicts. That somehow that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Somehow that peace of God, it's miraculous. It's a miracle, and it's a wonderful miracle. But a lot of times, again, when I look at my own life, it's not because I'm listening to the voice of Christ. It's because I'm listening to the voices in my head, and I'm a little bit crazy. And these voices are saying so many different things. But the voice of Christ, he came to preach peace to me, even when I'm far away or feel like I'm far away, and when I'm close, he came to preach peace. So as we wrestle with this and what it looks like to apply, and this is especially true, hopefully, again, if you're not a Christian, you're here, that there's something positive, that you're blessed by the service, or you're blessed by Christians that you encounter. But this is especially an application for Christians. And if you're not, again, take it or leave it. But I think it's hard, but it's good. So listen to this one. Romans 15:12-18. And this puts a little skin on it. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Whew! What about... Are you thinking of some exceptions? I mean, maybe sometimes it is impossible. I mean, Paul here even says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, but to live at peace with everyone. Because sometimes even if you have inner peace in yourself, maybe you get to a quiet place and you pray and you leave and then you encounter the world. And it gets harder, maybe. But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is kind of a let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me kind of a message. Like, it's got to live in me. Because, you know, like, I don't know if you're like me, but probably thinking like, what about this person? Or what about that? Or those people? Like, they keep us, they're the ones who are ruining the peace. But as far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on you, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Because one of the messages that's really clear from the gospel, where Jesus was the Word, became flesh, and made his dwelling among us, is that God cares a whole lot about us, and God cares a whole lot about relationships. And Jesus even boiled it all down to everything, every command, down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And these are maybe sound simple, but they're really, really hard in the real world, where inner peace can be so hard to find. And not only inner peace, but a lot of times relational peace can be hard to find. Because relationships are messy. People are complicated. This world's hard a lot of times. But yet we turn to the Prince of Peace, who maybe can do the miraculous in our own lives when we turn to Him. So as you're listening this morning, if there's a part of you that wants to respond to this message of peace, the peace of Christ, I want to do a prayer, and I just invite you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask the worship team to be coming up during this prayer time. But this is just a prayer that uses Scripture, the words of God, to invite the peace of Christ into our lives, to be in us and work through us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, glory to God in the highest heaven. Thank you for shining on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Lord, shine on us. Lord, shine on us. I believe that Jesus is the way, and I seek you to be my peace. Holy Spirit, help me follow you. Guide my feet into the path of peace. As far as it depends on me, help me to live at peace with everyone. May your favor rest on me. Amen. At this point in the service, everyone is invited to participate in communion, but this is a beautiful picture of what peace can look like. Peace with one another. Because it's Jesus who is the one who draws us together in peace. If you have any reason for not participating in communion, you can pass the plate down. But I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we get ready to distribute the Lord's Supper and this open invitation that we have to come to the Lord's table. Before we distribute it, let's just listen to these words again from Paul about the peace that is offered to us from Colossians 1, 15, 19 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross.